File your taxes the free and easy way with TurboTax. New to TurboTax? Didn't file last year with TurboTax? No problem. Switch to TurboTax and file for free if you do your own taxes on the TurboTax mobile app by February 18th. All the tax forms you have can be assisted. All 100% free. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. New filers and filers who didn't use TurboTax last year only must start and file your own taxes in the app by February 18th. Excludes TurboTax Live. Full terms at TurboTax.com.
For 120 years, Mount Carmel College of Nursing has prepared nurses to serve our communities. Here, our students can earn their Bachelor of Science in Nursing degree and take their education all the way to a Doctor of Nursing practice with small class sizes and help every step of the way. Want to learn more? Visit mccn.edu/visit to schedule your campus visit today. That's mccn.edu/visit.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.
Now, according to a new CSO survey, more than 6 in 10 of 25-year-olds are still living with their parents. 1 in 8 have emigrated. Now, to talk about the results of this survey, which is part of the Growing Up in Ireland exercise, I'm joined by News Talk's own Emily Keegan, who is 25, and DCU Students' Union President Carl Ormsby. Carl, good morning and welcome. Emily, first of all, talk about the provenance of this information. It's not just a random survey. It's very precise.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've been following this same group of individuals since they were 8 years old. That was the first time that these people took part in the survey. And they've followed them every couple of years. They go back to them. The last time they spoke to them, they were 20. So they're now 25. And it's basically just, I suppose, charting how their view on things in Ireland is changing as they get older and what's becoming more important to them as they grow, how certain issues are changing, how important family is, how important friends are, things like that, and how that changes as you grow into adulthood in Ireland.
Now, you were there at the launch. Certain things are kind of only to be expected, mm-hmm. and certain things stood out. What stood out for you?
There's a few interesting things that I think don't really get much attention. So a majority of respondents are in a romantic relationship. That's something that I think is really interesting. 20% have tried cocaine in the year previous to when they had taken.
Now that's interesting because we're always being told that young people are drinking less. Mm-hmm. But if alcohol is no longer their drug of choice, mm-hmm. What does that tell us?
Yeah, and so 20% have tried cocaine in the last year, but marijuana is still the most popular. It's the drug, most popular drug of choice. Alcohol is still concerning, definitely. I mean, it's a majority of men in the group with a degree level education engaged in drinking to a level that the WHO categorised as hazardous or dangerous.
And then you have to dig down a little bit into that because we know that Irish people do tend to drink differently to the kind of view that the WHO might have of recreational consumption of alcohol.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think a lot of people would probably disagree even with kind of the average amount of units you should have in a week. I think a lot of us would go over that in the average week. And it also, like, we have to take into consideration that they say here that men with a degree are more likely to do it, but there are also more people with degrees are responding. So a lot of these things, you do kind of have to go into it with a little bit of critical thinking at the same time. But nonetheless, it is reliable and it is really interesting to get the overview.
There's one stat which is a bit concerning. 25% diagnosed with depression or anxiety. Now, this can feed into the narrative that this is the snowflake generation and the poor lambs are worried about everything.
I mean, I guess you could say that. There also, we have to remember that these people were around 18 to 20 years old when COVID hit. There was a lot going on. Like, these people have...
And the world is going to end due to climate change.
Yeah.
And in my growing up time, the nuclear threat was the thing that worried us all.
Yeah.
You know, would there be a war? The Cuba missile crisis, missiles flying back and forth across the Atlantic, destroying our world. We'd be not be killed by a bomb, but by the fallout from a bomb.
And I mean, you've still got that, while it might not be directly impacting us here, you've, like, these people are still watching what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on in Ukraine. Like, all of that, it can be a very heavy news cycle at times, and that's going to weigh on people. And then you've also got, like, this, almost 100% of these people are concerned about housing. Like, that's another thing that's going to feed into this. I know they say that the majority feel optimistic about the future, but the majority is 56%. That's still almost half then that don't feel optimistic about the future.
89.1% are in excellent health.
Yes, and that is great. So while the mental health situation does seem to be declining, the physical health is still, it's still improving, and a lot more of them are exercising as well. So I think maybe we shouldn't be focusing too much on the alcohol and drugs because we are still caring about our health on the other hand.
82% were in a job, which, yes, you know, is good. Relatively few women, relatively few men were unemployed.
Mm-hmm. It is still worth noting, though, that at the age of 25 already we're seeing a gender pay gap here. So there was a difference in the average wages. The median weekly salary is 558, but without a degree, so with a degree it's 613, and without a degree it's 485. I suppose that can be expected,
sure,
depending on the kind of jobs they're going to have. But I believe it was about €64 extra a week men make compared to women at the age of 25 already. Yeah. That's pretty sad.
Does the survey give us any detailed breakdown? Because if, for example, you are at 25 a coder in high tech, or on the other hand, you might go into marketing in a PR company, you know, you're not going to be paid as much. So if there are stereotypical roles that women take up which are lower paid, so you need to
that did come into it as well. So they did find that men are more likely to work in the IT and tech sector, and we did find out in a recent survey that that is the most well paid sector. So
the other thing, the other day in the program we were talking about, the at the age of 6 already there are things going on that may account for a gender pay gap later on. So it starts early.
It's sad, isn't it?
Carl, what do you think of this survey?
I think that it's very interesting, a lot of the facts that come from it, but I don't think a lot of it is surprising to young people. I mean, a lot of people, even throughout the university, no matter what age they are feeling a lot of these issues. Even before 25, a lot of people are thinking to the future and already kind of having those worries built in, where if they're struggling to go to college and they're struggling to even afford to go up and get their lunch every day, they can only imagine what it's going to be like as soon as they're done. Like, a lot of what the college offers, there's a lot of supports there, but then the second that anyone graduates, yes, they have more opportunities to earn more, but only so much more than they would have without, and then they don't have as much support there as well behind
but
them.
But the kids in college, are they worried about housing at this point while they're still actually in university?
Of course, massively. Like, it's a large issue because even a lot of the work the student union does is finding people housing, finding people digs, using the rental room scheme, like, and reliefs and stuff to sell, like, people in the local area, like, please, can you let out houses to students?
Yeah, so but housing for students is kind of a separate, maybe related problem, because supply is at the heart of everything. But it's for the 25-year-olds, they're out of college and they're thinking about a permanent home. You know, but where am I going to be able to buy a home? Can I afford to rent a home?
I think it's that a lot of them are in finding issues when actually finding homes for themselves, that they're all house sharing. And then once they leave college, I know a lot of people who have found stuff that they're house sharing while they're in college, but then when they leave, it's either move back home or continue to house share. But either way, there's not really much option there to actually save up. And they're finding a lot of issue when actually getting the money together to find a proper, like, permanent home, which is why they're leading to...
Now, one of the stats is about 1 in 8 of this cohort who were surveyed in the Growing Up for Ireland and followed, 1 in 8 has emigrated.
Mm-hmm.
Emily, the question there is that typical of the whole cohort of 25-year-olds?
File your taxes the free and easy way with TurboTax. New to TurboTax? Didn't file last year with TurboTax? No problem. Switch to TurboTax and file for free if you do your own taxes on the TurboTax mobile app by February 18th. All the tax forms you have can be assisted. All 100% free. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. New filers and filers who didn't use TurboTax last year only must start and file your own taxes in the app by February 18th. Excludes TurboTax Live. Full terms at TurboTax.com.
For 120 years, Mount Carmel College of Nursing has prepared nurses to serve our communities. Here, our students can earn their Bachelor of Science in Nursing degree and take their education all the way to a Doctor of Nursing practice with small class sizes and help every step of the way. Want to learn more? Visit mccn.edu/visit to schedule your campus visit today. That's mccn.edu/visit.
possibly it is?
I would say it's far more than one in eight, to be completely honest with you. And that was outlined yesterday as well at the launch of this, that we need to be mindful that a lot of the people who have emigrated and who previously took part in this didn't respond when they were reached out to.
So they don't know where they are.
They don't know. Like, I have a friend who took part in this when she was younger, and I can't say with confidence because I didn't ask her, but I would be inclined to think she didn't respond this time, and she lives in London. So she's one of the emigrated now who is.
It's interesting, though, that you say she's in London, mm-hmm. because the most popular place to go to is not the US of A, mm-hmm. undocumented, as you probably might have been in the past, or Australia. It's the UK.
And that really surprised me too, because it seems like every day I go on Instagram, a new person's going to Australia. So I would have thought that was a given. We always say they're going over there for the better weather and all of this. So maybe that's not the case. Maybe we do need to start taking things seriously. They're going
but
for employment.
Is it the case, and I don't know, and I'll talk to Carla about this in a moment, that going to the UK is not really seen as emigration? Not nowadays. Cheap flights, instant communication, in the same time zone, watching the same football matches, having the same, by and large, cultural experience. That's not like emigration used to be. You know, you're very much connected.
Yeah, and I won't lie to you. It doesn't really entice me, because I don't think it's far enough away if I was going to go, to be completely honest with you. So I would be inclined to agree with you on that. And like, I mean, you've got an hour flight home. Like, it's...
And people come back and forth all the time when they are a resident in the cities in the UK. Mm-hmm. They're back and forth. It's not a huge expense to do it.
But that makes me think even more then that they don't have the same opportunities here, because you're not going abroad to a sunny country. You're going to something that's very similar. Why would you do it unless you had to?
I don't know whether you can tease out why that might be, because if you think about it, we have full employment here. Mm. They don't quite have full employment in yeah. Britain, although they have good employment rates there. Why would you go there except for a particular kind of job? Because we have loads of jobs in Ireland.
Yeah, I think they now... the CSO will be releasing more details on the emigration side of things. 500 people who did respond and who had emigrated took part in their survey. They did say that the most common reason they went abroad was for employment opportunities, and the majority of them said they plan to stay there for a minimum of 12 months. So that will all yeah. have to be ironed out, I suppose, when they release the further details of that part of the study.
Carl, can you tell us what people in your college, DCU, are talking about doing when they graduate?
I think a lot of people, like, their view is they would like to try find something, like they'd like to try find work in the city. But a lot of them, because there's so many commuter students, they're kind of getting to know Dublin, getting to know the city. They're traveling up and back every day. And then they realize once they leave that they either have the option of actually moving to the city or finding an alternative, which is what leads to a lot of people thinking of where can they go abroad, where they might still have the same opportunities, but it might just be a bit easier to go by their day to day to actually, like, just to survive, like, just to get through it, because there is a lot of students who are kind of getting used to that city life, but then as soon as they're done, they realise, like, that the commutes are a lot more difficult once they're 9 to 5 every day, getting up from down the country, possibly taking buses and trains and mm-hmm. coaches, and it's just not sustainable for them.
Now, the question, though, the appetite to travel, because we're always told, particularly about the doctors and the health professionals who go to Australia, that it's about the experience, or the young graduate teachers who go to the Emirates, for example, to teach, that it's about putting a stash of money in their pocket so they can come home and have a deposit on on a house or an apartment, or it's about the experience of not simply being in Ireland. I mean, is there an appetite to travel for the sake of travel, Carl?
I think so, yeah. I mean, even going back to the idea that, like, the UK isn't really emigrating, a lot of people are, like, viewing that as, oh, they'll just go somewhere that's not too far from what they're used to, just to kind of gain a bit of experience and get a bit of money saved up so they could come back and actually start a life more proper, like, to, I guess, what they're hoping for. But I think it's very much just a mix of people wanting to live as much as they can and see what they can, while also trying to actually survive and save up money to actually end up coming back and hopefully settling down properly.
And Carl, the mental health issue, is it something that's very evident in at DCU, the people seeking help from the student services for their mental health?
Yeah, no, it's very much like we are constantly getting people coming to us with issues from anything from finances to housing. And it's one of the things that we're offering as much help as we can, but there's only so much we actually can do. And even to the idea that once they leave, their supports are still needed, but not really as offered. And that's
I'll bring you some of the comments. Everybody who objects to housing of any description, whether it's co-living, luxury houses or affordable housing, is contributed to the shortage of supply and therefore contributing to higher housing prices. I think an issue is that 25-year-olds don't want to sacrifice holidays, nights out, new clothes, etc. to move out of their home to rent or buy a new house, the same as older people did. That's from Sean. Can you ask your guests, have they considered the societal expectations that we've experienced with regard to college and for their education? Our younger people are now staying in college longer, including a significant increase in postgrad education, delaying the point of jumping from the nest. And another one, I have children in their late 20s, early 30s. They wouldn't dream of taking on two part-time jobs to try and save. Too soft a generation. Now, the stats say that 73.2% say they were saving. How much they were saving is another question. What's your reaction to that? That the younger generation, Carl, they want everything now. You know, they wouldn't dream of, for example, going to a secondhand furniture auction house to furnish their house. It'll be brand new stuff, whether it's from, you know, IKEA or wherever. Emily?
I'd be inclined to disagree, to be completely honest with you. I think people give young people a seriously hard time. Maybe we do want to go on holidays all the time. What's the harm in that? Like
You can't maybe have both.
Yeah, and I do understand that. And I do also agree with the comment that we are going to college for longer and that does delay things inevitably, of course. But when it comes to saving money where we need to, I don't think we're afraid of it. I mean, I know plenty of people who are getting furniture on Facebook Marketplace is a big thing. People are getting free furniture. People are getting hand-me-downs. I don't think it's necessary that it's an issue. And I also, it's worth pointing out that the majority of people who took part in this survey do expect to own a home in the future. Like they are optimistic about that. And I don't think anyone expects to own a home in their 20s. But I think people would like to feel, even just renting would be nice. Like I'm one of the 25-year-olds who is still living at home and more than 6 in 10 are doing it for financial reasons. I'm doing it solely for financial reasons. I love my parents to bits, I do. But I would also like to be able to rent somewhere without having to forfeit
saving. You're making a financial decision that you prefer to be saving.
Absolutely,
and living relatively cheaply. I don't know whether you contribute or not. It's probably an embarrassing question. Don't answer it. You know, you're deciding, I want to put a wad of cash away rather than...
Yeah, you know. And I would imagine that's what a lot of the over 70% are doing, is that they're making these cuts. So it's not that we want everything. Like I am making the decision to live at home where, sorry, mom and dad, I don't really want to be. I'd rather be up in Dublin so that I can go out with my friends at the weekends. But I know that that decision has to be made. And anybody I know who is young is making a similar decision. I don't think it's that we want everything at once. We're well aware of being able to acknowledge what's necessary and what's not.
All right. Well, look, thank you both for joining me. Carl, it's all ahead of you. when you graduate, all of these challenges. That's DCU Students Union President Carl Ormsby, and from our own News Talk, Emily Keegan. Thank you very much.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.